Lewis Black is coming to the Hippodrome Theater on October 10th. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster.com. A Live Nation show. Keep listening to 105.7 The Fan for your chance to win tickets.
Courtesy of Live Nation.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan. And always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
After recording just 10 total runs across four games in New York, the O's bats woke up last night to help take down the Marlins 9-7. Pete Alonso set the tone right from the jump with a two RBI double and later picked up a pair of walks and another hit before his night was done. He's now working with a six-game hitting streak, leading to these post-game comments from Craig Albernaz.
Yeah, bat quality has been steady all season, and now he's starting to find his groove, starting to find his timing. You know, like, he's taking his walks. You know, his ability to drive the ball to right field has been coming on as of late, and now you're seeing the adjustability with the off-speed stuff.
And the Thunder remain perfect so far this postseason after beating the Lakers 108-90 last night. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored a season-low 18 and had a season-high 7 turnovers, but Chet Holmgren was able to pick up some of the slack with 24 points and 12 rebounds. The series resumes tomorrow night in Oklahoma City. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers on and off throughout the day, highs near 70. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
News from the Nest is sponsored by Window Nation. During Window Nation's buy four, get four free sale, you could save big on new windows. Plus, you could get no money down and no payments or interest for 2 years. Sale ends soon, so visit WindowNation.com now.
Right, it's time for News from the Nest here on Vinny and Haney. Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato with you. We got two more hours left in today's show. Feel free to get in on anything Ravens or Orioles related, 410-583-1057. But a few Ravens notes for today, excuse me. I mentioned it earlier when we had A.J. Gersh on from Fox 45. The Joey Bosa, I'm done calling it rumors. That's given it too much credence here. We're calling it speculation because it seems to be all fan-created. Like when you Google Joey Bosa's name right now, there is probably no less than 7 different teams linked to him in some sort of blog headline, and the Ravens are included. So really, when we asked AJ, like, is there another need on the edge? And I guess the more refined question there would be a need on the edge, specifically pass rush talent. Because Zion Young, right, you have high hopes for him. You like what he showed in college, but he's not really the elite pass rush guy. You do a little bit of both. We're hoping he can ascend as a pass rusher, but more of his strength would be setting the edge, stopping the run, that sort of thing. So you got two good guys there with Tavius Robinson and Zion Young. Mm-hmm. That makes you feel pretty good. You feel like you got decent depth for a guy like Trey Hendrickson who's going to have to come off the field at least a decent amount. But how do you see it, Vinny? Like, whether it's Bosa or someone else, is there that need for another pass rush threat?
There, I don't know if you need a veteran guy like that right now. You know, because you want to give all these young guys opportunities to grow and to develop. And you don't need a Bosa or anybody coming. You know, typically, you know, and like they did with Vannoy, was you go through OTA's mini camp, then you go through like training camp and maybe one of your first practices against another team or that type of thing. Hey, we probably do need a little help there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Mike Green's not as far as we thought he was going to be. But right now I want to give, you know, Zion and Mike, I want to give them as much opportunity as they can to go take that job, because you just mentioned how many veteran guys that are looking for places.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, they're and those older guys, they don't want to go to OTAs. Mm-hmm. They don't want to sign right now. They want to sign in August at training camp or towards the end of training camp.
That's why I was surprised that Campbell signed when he did. I thought for sure that was going to be training camp.
Well, I think he probably likes to train, you know, and work and be in the locker room and be around the guys. And maybe it was a thing, you know, because like DJ Reader just signed and it seemed like, you know, Reeder went to the Giants and Campbell came here. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was something that, you know, the teams want them there. I'm sure Harbs definitely wants Reeder in there because you got a new defense to learn. Right. And with Calais, it's, I guess, somewhat new. Well, he was just with Weaver in Miami.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got a lot of familiarity.
Yeah. At this 40 years old, year 19, what has he not seen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a different word or a different terminology, but he's done it all and done it at the highest level.
Well, the thing, too, with him, Nolan, is I don't know what percentage of plays, because he had a ton of stats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what percentage of play, you know, with a 40, like you mentioned, a 40-year-old, do you give him 35%, 40%? Well, he was probably playing 60% or more.
It's a good tease for buy or sell.
Yeah.
Got that coming up in the next segment here. We'll get into that, the percentages for you. But you know who is already a forgotten man on the edge here in the linebacker core? Adisa Isaac. How soon have you fallen out of favor here? And it's all availability. Just hasn't been there.
Yeah.
And this was a guy I was pretty excited about coming out of Penn State because he was a third-round pick. You know, that's territory where you should be expecting a guy to actually produce for you.
Starter, even if he's, possibly.
Yeah. Even if he's not a starter, a very stable role player. But would that be a case where if they made the veteran addition, that might speak more about Adisa Isaac not being where they need him to be?
I would say, you know, like what made him so good at Penn State, he had Carter on the other side. You know, so he's always had somebody on the other side because he's not a guy that you can really. He's going to win. They're going to, and I think Jesse will make him better. If he's on the team and stuff, Jesse will take advantage. Whatever he does well, Jesse Minner will take advantage of that.
Yeah, just four total games for him across 2 years. He hasn't even gotten off the ground.
Yeah, the problem with, he misses training camp and stuff, you know, and then you're behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm. And real quick here, the center mystery, which is the best way to call it. Whoever the next starting center is going to be, whether he's in-house, they trade for somebody, have a hard time believing that a free agent would come in and start at this point, given the names that are available. But whoever that person is, you drop him in. We take a look at this O-line. You feel okay with it in starters, depth all the way down because, all right, Stanley on the left side. I mean, you got to, that's really your only rock at this point, your only stability. Remains to be seen how the guard placement will work out, but you've got your two guard spots filled. And Rosengarten, again, we need to see a little more out of him this year, but all things considered, you feel okay with him. Depth-wise, that's where it gets interesting to me. Emory Jones is the big name for me, because even if he doesn't surpass John Simpson as a starter this year, if he could somehow become the sort of what they lost in why am I already blanking on his name? The guy who went to the Jags.
McCary.
If he could be at least closer to that swingman type of sixth man role, that would be huge because they didn't have that guy last year.
Well, I guess that it ideally what you would like is Vanga being the left guard, whoever's going to be the center, and then you'd like maybe Simpson for the first five or six games, and then Emory Jones to be able to take that over, and then Simpson's your backup.
Mm-hmm.
That would be ideal. And you got to feel like with Voorhees, all right, if he's got to come in as a backup, you know, and play, you know, the guy's played a lot of football, started a lot of games, so you got to feel like, okay, you know, we got some veteran depth.
You could
there.
Do worse for a backup. Yeah.
Yeah.
410-583. We're finally done with that. That'd be nice.
He's out in Charger land.
Yeah, last year was a surprise that he was even brought back, given the on-field and the off-the-field stuff. That was a bit strange. And he didn't follow Harbaugh either. I thought maybe the Harbaugh was his lifeline.
Yeah.
Always talked highly of him.
Between me and you, I don't know that Harbs really liked him that much.
Yeah. Fair point. When we come back, buy or sell, we will talk about Calais Campbell's snap count and what it might look like as he approaches the age of 40 here, his 19th NFL season. 12:30, Steve Molesky joins us, and we'll dive back into the Ravens later on in the hour because we didn't get to this earlier in the week, but Zay Flowers was at the Kentucky Derby, did an interview with ESPN, and credit to this ESPN reporter because he didn't go all softball. He asked for a follow-up on those John Harbaugh practice comments that Zay had a couple weeks back. We'll get into that if time allows. Your calls always welcome. 410-583-1057.
What happens next happens here. Baltimore Sports Radio.
That ball is out of here.
105.7 The Fan. Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Buy or Sell is sponsored by Jones Miller Hyundai. Visit them to buy or sell your car. See Kevin Brammer for a new or used vehicle with over 2 million likes and reviews. You too will be a satisfied customer. Visit BelairHyundai.com today.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Buy or sell. We're going to talk about some sports topics here in just a second, including Calais Campbell's role with the Ravens, what it might look like. But first, Vinny, a look at that stock market.
All right, Nolan, I'll give you a little hint. Oil retreats on Iran deal progress. Anytime there's progress with Iran and oil goes down, the market goes up. All right, the Dow is up 503. It's at 49,802. The S&P's up 83. I think that's they're at an all-time high, 7,300. The NASDAQ is up 394. I think they're at an all-time high. DraftKings is up 18 cents. Under Armour's up a dime, 618. So everything is good. Oil's coming down, so hopefully we see it at the gas pump. I drive by the highs all the time, you know, like going to and from. And like yesterday I drove and it was like, damn, 449? And it was just four. And then I saw where I go over to Planet Fitness, like there it was like, when I went into the gym, it was like 405. When I left the gym, it was 449.
The first time in my life I actually would try to get gas in Pennsylvania over Maryland. It used to be always commuting down here.
It wasn't even close.
Had to get gas in Maryland before you go back home. I was golfing up in York over the weekend. I was like, I'm getting gas. This is great. It's $3.99. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
All right. We stop here or start here with the Ravens, rather. Calais Campbell talking about this in the last segment. What he can give at the age of 40. Always a fair question when Father Time is going to win because he is truly undefeated. But Campbell, an ageless wonder in his own right here. Very consistent in his late 30s. Last year with Arizona, 524 defensive snaps in a full 17-game slate. That worked out to 46% of the grand total. The last time in his career the first time in his career he's been under 50%. His last year in Baltimore, which was back in 22, he played 62% of the snaps, and that was only in 14 games. So a lot has changed since then. Obviously, he's not a guy that needs to be on the field a lot. He can give you good production in lesser reps. That's been his calling card here into his late 30s. Buy or sell, Vinny. Campbell will register an even lower snap count in 2026, below 46%.
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. And I think it needs to happen, you know. And looking at kind of how the Chargers played things, Nolan, they rotated five defensive tackles, inside D linemen, you know. So if they rotate five guys through there, yeah, I think he will be less than 46%. But he'll be on all the field goal PAT block team.
Yes. Still playing a decent, if your special teams total, these last couple of years, that's been, I'll never forget it, man. That Colts, the comeback on Monday Night Football, all the talk about Lamar and the crazy stats and everything, and make no mistake, that was important, but that game doesn't get there if Campbell doesn't block the extra point, I believe, or the field goal. That was huge. Many, many times he's done that. Over to the Browns here. A recent ESPN production documented some of the behind the scenes of this year's draft, and there was some drama that actually made the final cut. New news here, if you didn't hear, the Cowboys tried to swing a massive trade with the Browns. Cleveland had already moved back from 6th overall to 9th. They made the deal with Kansas City. In comes Dallas with an offer to swap both of their first round selections. Basically, the outcome here would have been the Browns having to move back from 9 to 12, but then moving up from 24 to 20. Andrew Berry could be heard in the ESPN piece on the phone saying that's, quote, light on all dimensions. The Cowboys came back through and, hey, how about a fifth rounder? We'll sweeten the pot. He said, no, thank you. In the end, Cleveland ends up with Spencer Fanneau, KC Concepcion. Dallas gets Caleb Downs, Malachi Lawrence. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Browns made the right choice not taking the Cowboys' offer.
I'll buy it 100% because, you know, if Fanneau is the guy that you want at nine, you know, when you do, you know, kind of looking at it, 10, you know, the Giants took an offensive lineman next. So could Fanneau have been gone then? Possibly. Dallas wanted Downs. And you know what? To move up from 24 to 20, all right, that maybe would have got him Lemon. You know, if they had wanted, or, you know, we'll see. But sometimes.
Bless you.
Thank you. Getting cute. It's not worth if there's a guy that you want and you got him in your hand, you know, to go back three more spots and you know the 10 is probably taking an old lineman. No, I for 2/5, those guys aren't even going to make your team probably.
Right. And all the wide receivers this year were kind of lumped together. They're, you know, take your pick. There's no real standout. So Concepcion, Lemon, insert other name here, kind of all.
And, you know, and Concepcion went 24th, Lemon went 20th, you know, and Lemon was going 21st to Pittsburgh. And they had him on the clock. You saw that, right?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Pittsburgh, because what they like to do, which is you're not allowed, and they kind of got burned for it once everything came out. They like to call and get him on the phone, you know, and they say, well, it ties up people's phone line. Yeah, but, you know, now it shows up on the phone now.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of outdated. So they're on, Pittsburgh's on the phone with him, and he's getting, talking to him, and Philly calls to draft him.
Right.
So,
well, back in when you were kicking as a GM, when it was landlines and stuff like that, was that actually a strategy that worked? And how do they combat it? Like, how do they know somebody's violating the rules?
They don't, you know, and because the thing about it is we always, I don't know that we ever drafted a guy we didn't talk to, you know, because when you're on the clock, what you call and you know, because what you don't want is the guy got hurt that day or got in a car accident, you know, because you'd call and say, you all right? Yeah, I'm good. Okay. You know, that kind of thing. So you want to know that the guy is doing fine, that he's okay. He didn't get hurt. Something happened to him.
A lot more time between picks back then, too.
Oh, 15 minutes.
More time
yeah.
to stall, yeah.
Yeah, you had plenty of time at during that. You know, I mean, it got to be, you know, it was monotonous. I mean, because you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs, you know. I mean, them doing what they did now, I'll guarantee it's going to help ratings. It's going to help everything. Because they were smart. They do great because their time window for an NFL game is basically 3 hours. And that's what they wanted the draft to be, and the draft ended up being 2:53. And everybody loves it. And, you know, when you ask some GMs, you know, do you have a problem with it? No, you just got to be more prepared. You just got to be prepared. You got to do more prep work prior to if you're making trades.
Yeah, I'm sure people were making a big stink when it went from 15 to 10. I mean, that's a pretty big, significant chance. 10 to 8 is, you know.
Well, the thing, you saw the Dallas one, right? When they traded with Cleveland?
Or tried to, yeah.
Or, no, Dallas traded with, when
Miami?
They moved to
Miami.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, well, we got to get it in, or just, there's two seconds to go.
Right.
You know, so it does cut it a little bit. But they had called Miami twice, you know, because they had to throw in another 5.
Real quick, one last topic here. Jeremiah Love currently holds the shortest odds to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, and for good reason. He was regarded as the top running back this year, maybe the top player overall in this year's class, and getting a lot of comps to the Ashton Gentes of the world. But for him last year with the Raiders, everyone was predicting immediate success.
Yep.
It's set up perfectly for him, right? You don't have any other weapons to compete with in that offense. Pete Carroll loves to run it. He's handled the big workload in college. This is a no-brainer. He's top fantasy option. He's going to go crazy. Then the season rolls around, and you realize that a bad O-line can really stop everything for you. The Ravens, just ask him. Well, Arizona, for Jeremiah Love, not exactly much stability up front either. Buy or sell, Vinny, Love may suffer the similar fate that Genty did with no help in front of him.
I'm going to kind of buy it, Nolan. To me, the biggest difference between Love and Genty is Love can go line up in the slot. He's an outstanding receiver. So he can make some hay, you know, that way. Where Genty couldn't. Genty, you know, I mean, you watch Genty, it's like, damn, come on, man. Well, you know, he didn't even have any hole. You couldn't even get started. Mm. You know, Pete Carroll's son, who was a tight end coach, was the O-line coach, was a total joke.
Many jokes for the Raiders last year. 410-583-1057. When we come back, Steve Molesky's going to join us. Get that Orioles conversation cooking again. After that, a little more Ravens follow-up, and then into NFL lunch, where the big news out of the NFL this week went down yesterday. Stephon Diggs, he's cleared. He's good to go. So he should be able to join a new team here soon. We'll let you know some of the details of that whole court
proceeding. It's hilarious.
It was, I didn't know if it was like actual legal drama or a comedy. I mean, it had a little bit of everything yesterday going on there in that. More of Vinny and Haney continues next here on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan. Wherever the Orioles season takes you.
Say goodbye to this ball.
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Orioles snapped their five-game losing streak in dramatic fashion last night by beating the Marlins 9-7. As a collective, the lineup broke out of their funk with 10 hits and 5 walks, but it was Samuel Basayo doing a lot of the heavy lifting with a 3-for-4 night and 4 RBIs. He was just a home run shy of the cycle, and with the game all knotted up heading into the ninth, Craig Albernaz made the gutsy decision to pinch hit Adley Rutschman in his place. The move immediately paid off when Rutschman delivered the go-ahead RBI.
I wouldn't say it's not a problem, but it's a tough decision to make, and it's a good decision to make too, right? When you have two really talented players, but ultimately we landed on Adley just from the simple fact of getting a righty in there, especially seeing the swings that the righties took off him.
There's the manager on his mindset in crunch time. Rico Garcia would go on to record a four-out save in place of Ryan Helsley and set up an opportunity for a series win later on tonight. Brandon Young versus Eury Pérez is the pitching matchup, with things scheduled to get rolling at 6:40. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play the exciting new Diamonds and Gold Scratch-Off and new Rose Gold Scratch-Off from the Maryland Lottery. You could win up to $2 million. Please play responsibly. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers on and off throughout the day, highs near 70. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Ain't it fun?
Got about an hour and a half left in today's show. Pretty Orioles heavy today after a drama-filled victory last night, 9-7. Over the Marlins. Nolan McGraw with you here, in for Bob Haney today. Vinny Serrato here, of course. And right now we head out to the phone lines, the Window Nation fan guest hotline, to be joined by our friend, our colleague, Steve Molesky. Steve, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys.
All right, well, let's dive right into it. This Orioles team last night, I got to hit you with the big topic there in the ninth inning. Sam Basayo, 3-for-4 night, a home run shy of the cycle. Swinging as hot a bat as anybody, gets pinch hit for. We're playing the matchups here. Lefty-righty matchup to get Adley Rutschman in there. It pays off. He gets the go-ahead RBI. But what did you make of that decision in real time? Pretty gutsy from the skipper.
Yeah, I would not have done it. I said that in real time. What's he doing? The guy's having a great night. He's starting to hit right, left. He's starting to hit everything. And wouldn't that be the exact guy you'd want up? And Albernaz looked good because Adley, who had gone 1-for-17 in New York, by the way, got a big hit. So it worked, and they won, and that's the important thing right now. Right now, Nolan, good, bad, or ugly, the Orioles need wins. That wasn't a thing of beauty by any stretch, but in the end, the bottom line is they got to roll off wins.
All right, let me say something. Let me ask you something positive, all right, Steve?
All right.
I'm always the negative one.
Talk to me about Cano and Garcia last night. They've been awesome.
Yeah, they have. I think the bullpen is better than the stats are showing right now. Cause they've had
Other
a couple,
than Kittredge.
Well, they've had a couple blow-ups here, and they've had position player once or twice. But those two have been two of the best all year. And, I mean, how do you do better than opponent batters are 1-for-49 against Rico Garcia? That's ridiculous. 0-20 batting average. 1-for-49. He didn't give up a hit last night. He's 3-0. And Cano, you know, looks like the sink is back. And that's what he's always needed. It fluctuates for him. We've seen what it looks like when it's not there. But it looks like it's back now. And so, you know, they need to get Helsley back and Kittredge straightened out. And all of a sudden, things can look a lot better in that bullpen.
Talking to Steve Molesky here on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. One of the only bright spots in that series against the Yankees was Trey Gibson. And it's kind of stunning, at least to me, that they were that aggressive to call him up, right? You can't argue that there was a need. It clearly had one. They had the gap in the rotation because of the doubleheader. So you needed an arm no matter what. But I feel like that's a situation in the past where Elias would say, let's go bullpen game. Let's go with someone else for the spot start. The kid's not ready yet. So for them to throw him into the fire like that, for him to show himself that well, could this be a case where if they've got other pitching needs down the road that they maintain that aggressiveness with call-ups? Because there's a ton of other arms in the minors that are chomping.
Well, I mean, they've added him to the 40 now, so they've got the ball rolling here on options and things like that. And so he'll be back. I think he'll be back because he pitched well enough and he showed the poise that we've seen on the farm. He showed the velocity we've seen on the farm. He actually wasn't throwing as hard as the radar gun showed in that game. So I can't think of a tougher debut. The team's losing two in New York. Go into Yankee Stadium. Save the day, kid. Here you go. Your debut. All eyes watching. And so that was pretty credible effort by him. And I've talked to him a ton last year. I really, really like Trey Gibson. I see a kid who's driven to be better, who's open to coaching. They asked him, you should add a two-seamer. He did it. You should add a cutter. He did it. He loves the coaching he's gotten. He's taken it to heart. And I can't wait to see him again. I mean, my opinion here, not being critical of anybody else, I look at Povich, Young, and Gibson. And if I were to rank them in order of talent, I've got Gibson at the top of that list.
Yeah, he seemed most calm, cool, collective, you know, watching him pitch. But, Steve, let me ask you this. All right. Last night, Couser in right, Tavares in center, Ward in left. And I asked this to Nolan earlier. Now, if you wanted to bring in a defensive replacement for Ward, who are you bringing in defensively?
Well, I mean, it depends who's on the bench. If Couser or Tavares are on the bench.
No, I just said Couser's in right, Tavares is in center.
Oh, yeah. Well, you probably not.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, Ward for me, I'm overselling it, I guess. I thought he was average-ish, and I've seen him make some plays this year that say that. So I don't see him as a huge defensive liability, but on a team that's making a lot of defensive mistakes right now, he's made a couple, and they just can't get a clean game. I mean, they keep saying, talking it. They say the right things. They do put in the work, but at 7 o'clock, they don't get a clean game. And when you're a defensive team that's poor, we're not going to overlook a mistake. If you're a good defensive team and somebody botches the ball in the fifth inning, fans are going to kind of not focus on it. But if you're a bad defensive team, as soon as something goes wrong, it's going to be like, here we go again. And the Orioles have had too much here we go again.
Steve, one more for you here. Brandon Young, you mentioned him in that group of young arms on this Orioles team. Two good starts to begin the year. Little tricky against the Astros in that second game of the doubleheader, but that was a game where nothing went right. And again, defense reared its ugly head, did not do Brandon Young any favors. What does he need to get back to what he was doing? Or I guess, what was he doing in those first two starts that got away from him a little bit?
I don't know, man. Maybe command at some times for him, but I give him credit. He's 27 now. He's kind of been up and down a little bit. He's a fringe guy. And then he comes out this year and he pitched great at AAA and he pitched really good in two Oriole games. And then he pitched really bad. So I'm curious to see what happens tonight. How does he bounce back? And so he is the Orioles 2024 minor league pitcher of the year. Trey Gibson was that last year. So he's someone they like. And I'm not knocking him and saying I would put Trey Gibson ahead of him, but Trey Gibson obviously can't start tonight. So Young is starting. But long-term, I think I got Trey ranked a little higher. But Brandon Young, we can't forget, almost pitched a perfect game, and he has an immaculate inning on his record. How many Oriole pitchers can say they have both? And so he doesn't have a perfect game, but he has a near perfecto against the Astros. So curious to see what he gets tonight. The Orioles' rotation has just been not good enough. All their pitching, not good enough. So they've got to turn a corner here at some point.
Always good to talk baseball with Steve Molesky. Steve, before we let you run, let the people know about the personal venture, Steve on Baseball, and the new exciting podcast, Birdland Territory.
Yeah, that's been good. And I'm also going to be tonight with Tim on the BBT at 5:30. So I look forward to being in there later. So save me a chair. But yeah, steveonbaseball.substack.com. That's my Substack. A lot of written word and analysis of the Orioles and their minors. And the Birdland Territory YouTube podcast has been a hit. We're part of the Foul Territory Network. And Tim joins me along with Brad Brock, who's really been great. We just had, he's been a great addition for us. He's really into it. He wants to be good at media, and he is getting good at media. And he adds a player perspective that a lot of podcasts don't have, and we're lucky to have him. So tune it in. Check it out. Any on demand on YouTube, Birdland Territory.
There you go. He's Steve Molesky. Listen to him tonight, 5:30, right here on The Fan.
Steve, thanks, Steve.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Yep. There he goes. When we come back, we got time for your calls, and we've also got time to hear a little follow-up from Zay Flowers. Remember a couple weeks back, publicly critical of the way John Harbaugh was structuring his practices, really the last couple of years, but Zay was not afraid to say that he thought that that was a direct link to some of the injury issues they had. He was asked for a follow-up about it at the Kentucky Derby over the weekend. Kind of backpedaled a little bit. We'll hear what he had to say after the break.
This is VJ Surhoff. You're listening to the best Orioles coverage on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
Now, when you sell your home, you want to make the most money possible, not spend it. Sometimes you need to spend money to make it, though. Just not with my buddy Lee Tessier and his team. Lee's going to tell you what every other real estate agent will. Your home needs upgrades, fixes, and repairs to sell for the most money possible. Now, what Lee says is that others don't. You don't have to worry about the upfront costs for the work to be done because of his Rehab Refresh program. Lee will take care of it. So let's just say that your kitchen faucet, it hadn't been working right for a while, and you haven't gotten it fixed. Lee's got you covered. Shingles on your roof are falling apart. Lee's got you covered with that, too. You don't owe a dime until your home sells. Each repair will help you your home sell for more money, and that's going to pay for themselves and then some. So call the own agent I qualify to sell my home. That man's my buddy, Lee Tessier. Just give Lee a call at 410-638-9555 or go to LeeTessier.com. That's 410-638-9555 or find listings at LeeTessier.com. And when you call Lee, oh, it's so simple. Just start packing.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
This Odyssey Sports Minute is sponsored by Wrangler. Shop Wrangler.com for new denim styles to kickstart your day. James Harden was atrocious last night for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the main reason Cleveland lost Game 1 on the road at Detroit. 7 turnovers for Harden in the game, dribbling the ball off his feet, terrible passes out of bounds, only 6 field goals made. If Cleveland's going to come back in this series, Harden has to be way better. I'm Nick Costos.
Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7, The Fan.
We love him. Everybody on Lamar, me, Derek, the whole defense love him. It's just like a different energy. It's like he's confident, but it's calm. Like he bought business. Like he ready to get it started. We ready to get it started. And it gives everybody a new opportunity.
There is Zay Flowers speaking with ESPN at this past weekend's Kentucky Derby coverage. You know, always got to get the celebrity stuff in there, other pro athletes making appearances, everyone dressed to the nines. But it wasn't all softball questions for Zay Flowers. That was him talking about Jesse Minter and the early goings of his tenure as Ravens coach, how the players are mingling and, I guess, acclimating to his message and all that kind of stuff. But what was more headline-worthy, or more noteworthy, we should say, was when the ESPN reporter asked him a follow-up about his criticism of John Harbaugh's practice structure. He said that they were running in pads more than the players would have liked. Zay even went as far as to say that he thought that the excessive practice, as he saw it, was directly linked to the amount of injuries the team had last year. Was kind of ripped at the time. Harbaugh took the brunt of it. But I don't know, man. Like, we'll hear his follow-up here in a second. But the fact is, you're only allotted so many padded practices over a season. It's not like this is every day, every week. And if I'm not mistaken, there is a cutoff in the second half of the year, whether it's week 13, 14, somewhere in that range, where you got to have all or a majority of those padded practices already complete by that point. So they're not even piling on late in the year, which was kind of what Zay was saying. Like, hey, late in the year, we're tired. Guys are we're running too much, that sort of stuff. Like, it didn't really add up to me at the time. And everyone, though, anti-John Harbaugh, and myself included, jumped on it. Oh, this is classic Harbaugh. You know, he's out of touch. He lost the team. Here's another example, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't that simple, Vinny. It was always kind of reducing it a little too much.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you know, it's never the player's fault. You know, they're always going to blame somebody. It's just what they do. Now, here's the other thing, too. As the season goes on, usually after about week, I'm guessing probably after week four or five, maybe, you know, normally you win a game or whatever. Hey, Victory Monday, Victory Monday. What's Victory Monday? You don't come back till Wednesday. You know, the coach will come in after a win. See you Wednesday. Yay! You know, kind of thing. And as the season goes on, most teams, they're not. They're coming in on Wednesday, especially towards the end of the year. You're coming in on Wednesday, so you have a good practice Wednesday, a good practice Thursday. Friday is kind of a lighter day, a lot of goal line and that type of stuff. Saturday's a walkthrough, you know, and as a receiver, you run more than anybody anyhow, you know, because you're a receiver. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, you know, for Zay to say that, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, let me just say, like, when I was in San Fran, Jerry Rice is the greatest receiver ever. Jerry worked harder than anybody. Jerry always played great at the end of the year. You know, I never heard Jerry, and we had similar style. And Jerry probably had to run more because we threw the ball so much. So he was, and the other thing with Jerry was, you know, finish was Jerry's thing. He'd catch a pass, he'd run to the goal line all the time, you know? So I find that kind of BS.
Well, let's hear his follow-up, what he had to say when asked about any clarification on that.
I mean, you was running a lot, you know, it's practice. Like, I've been practicing since I started playing football when I was four, so I've been practicing for a long time. It just depends on how much you run. You run a lot. The more you run, the more your body break down, I feel like. So it was really not a shot at him because we was always prepared to go play. We was always prepared to win games, and that's what we did in my 3 years there.
Not a shot at him, apparently. That's some backpedaling there for sure.
Oh, no doubt.
The part you go from saying that's why we were injured to...
And hey, we were pads all the time, right? Isn't that what he... Didn't he say something like that, too?
Yeah, that was the original was pads. And then just in general, I don't know.
But I mean... I'll guarantee if you asked O linemen, they're not running. It comes with the territory. You're a receiver. You're going to run routes. Right. Because when you go out there, an individual, what are you going to do? You're going to run, you know, and you run. You're basically running the whole practice pretty much.
I think the reaction I had at the time, I still uphold it, right? I mean, if Minter wants to come in and change things and he sees fit to run practice a different way, hey, I'm all for it. Let's change it up. It's a new era. We should be making changes, right? Just don't go public with this. Let the changes be behind the scene. And if they end up being fruitful and great, then cool. You celebrate it behind the scenes. Bringing that to the public and the forefront like Zay did, which, by the way, in the first podcast interview was unprompted. I mean, even if you're being asked about the injuries, you didn't have to go that route and say, well, it was because our coach was running us too hard. By the way, the coach is no longer here. You know, I wouldn't have said that if he was still the coach of the team, that's for sure. So it's just, it makes you look soft. You know, that's the other thing.
Well, and then the other thing too, Nolan, is what does the strength coach and the trainers say? You know, that type of thing too. So I don't buy it at all. And I would just tell Zay, just do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, just play the game. Just play the game, you know.
410-583-1057. Any thoughts on the Ravens? We'd love to have them. Actually, we'll get a call when we come back here. I see Trippy on hold. We'll get you here on the other side. So I believe he wants to talk about this Stephon Diggs thing, and that is exactly where we are going for NFL lunch today. Big news yesterday with that whole trial, everything going down. Diggs didn't even have to speak. Got him his name cleared. It's not often that that happens. We'll explain after the break.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The
Hey, it's Vinny Sauter, and I got to tell you about Town Appliances' Spring Black Friday shopping event. And yes, it is happening right now. And kind of do like I did. Drive out, you know, off Reisterstown Road, Knowings Mills. I drove out. Beautiful facility, beautiful building. And I walked in and I asked for Mayor. Now, the two guys that run the store, both their first names are Mayor and Mayor. So if you go in and ask for Mayor, you can't go wrong. You're going to get either Mayor or Mayor, one of the two. And they've got something for everybody. Any appliance that you're looking for, they got it. And their price ranges, they've got all the different price ranges. They've got high end, middle, low. They've got it all, you know, for whatever you're looking for and whatever your budget can handle. And I went there looking for a refrigerator for my basement. So I didn't want high end. I got a beautiful refrigerator at a great cost. So I got me a nice GE at a wonderful cost. And the delivery went outstanding. And they took the old refrigerator too, which was great. Now their showroom, right off Reisterstown Road and Owens Mills, like I said. And I promise Mayor and Mayor, they're going to take great care of you, just like they did with me. Now, with decades of experience, nationwide delivery, and their price match guaranteed to me, which is a big winner. They're going to match any price from any authorized dealer. Plus, they got flexible financing. So why go anywhere else? Why wait till Black Friday later this year when we have the Spring Black Friday shopping event right now? Visit the showroom, call, text, or start saving online right now at townappliance.com.